Good evening, everyone. It's good to see everybody's smiling faces. Let us begin in prayer. I give you my peace. Father, we come before you and we first want to say thank you for all that you provided for us through this week. We are thankful for your grace, for your love, but most importantly, Father, for word and sacrament that we were able to receive today. We know, Father, sometimes life is a struggle for us and we will never give up. We will always try our best to be better than we were the day before, because this is something you asked of us, not just because we're guardians, but because we're your children. Where maybe there's a heartache or a difficulty on someone's heart this evening or a struggle, and pray, Father, for the strength for them to bear it through this hour, that none of us are distracted, but that we can all focus on what you've prepared for us, because we are excited anytime you are allowed or allow us to spend time with you. We pray, Father, for your peace now to cover us. We welcome all those from eternity who have come. It is nice to see the smiling faces and how excited they are to hear your word as well as what we have provided too. And we ask, Father, now, according to your will and in your name we pray, please hear us. Amen. Okay, let's start with a little bit of deep breathing. Close your eyes. Meditate a little bit. Take a deep breath. Father said, meet him in the chamber. Father, Jesus, and HS are in the center of us, and we are standing around them. He said, lift your arms up and hold them up. Now, wave them back and forth like you're praising him. A dork. Sorry, can I say that? Yes, I can call my father a dork. He says, take a big, deep breath. He is going to release his love. So is Jesus, and so is HS. And we can all absorb it. Father has his hands up. He's saying, raise the roof. Apparently, Father's in a good mood this evening. Because, you know, he's always so crabby all the time, usually, right? Everyone take a deep breath. Father says he has much to share this evening. Tryland and I have been working very hard on preparing different series for you, plus his message. And he is also giving you his peace. Take a deep breath. He said, fear nothing. I am with you. That should bring a peace to our hearts. Father said, congratulations, Fred and Kathy, you lovely grandparents. When you're ready, focus your attention behind your eyes and open them. Okay. Here is what Father had to say. Hello, my dear guardians and other family members. I greet you in love this evening. I wanted to wish all the mothers a belated happy Mother's Day. I blessed you mothers and your children greatly on that day. Today, I want to thank all of you that helped clean out many of the countries that were not helped for some time. It will be a continuing weekly process. You are being active when you do this. I also wanted to thank those who have gone into eternity and helped many souls. This is also being active, thinking and praying for others, opening your heart to those around you, pogging everywhere you go. This is all being active. Being active is defined by an action you perform, be it a big one or a little one. I ask that everyone, every day, you are active. I will open more gifts for you to help with these tasks. If you open yourself to me and you give me your time, I will guide you to where I need you the most. For those of you that are open, you have already experienced this. Again, do not let this world distract you from what is most important, or what the most important thing is, helping souls. This world has a saying, do random acts of kindness. I love that. It was born out of the heart. Tryland and Starlight went shopping to an Aldi's. You must have a quarter to rent a shopping cart. That morning, some kind soul did not return it to get their quarter back. They simply gave their cart to another soul to use. Tryland was given that cart, and he passed it on to another soul when he was done using it. Over 50 people used that same cart that day. That is a random act of kindness. It was not done to make a name for themselves. They were just being kind, and many were blessed because of it. While you are out and about, try to find a way to share a random act of kindness. You will have no idea how many people you will touch. That is why I love when souls practice this. A kind act has infinite possibilities. The world only experiences tragedy and heartbreak when listening and reading about the news. How wonderful it would be if there was a news outlet that only talked about the good in the world. It would fail because humans thrive on other horrible tragedies and negativity. Do not be negative ever. You are the life stream of my love on earth as guardians and my children. All of you can fight to be positive. I know that this is not an easy task, but I laid into you a special gift of hope. Hope brings positivity to life. Tell me, have you ever come across a person that is always happy? And when they enter a room, they just light up that room and everyone in it. Do they not leave a lasting effect on all? You must strive to be that kind of person. Now, a flip of the coin. Have you ever come across a person that is always negative? Do you want to be around them? Do they not just suck the life and joy out of the room? Remember that at all times, you affect people you are around. You influence them in ways you may not even be aware of. Do you encourage others? Give them joy and hope in their lives. If you do, then you are being godly. The standards that I have set for you can be attained. You can work together on making it possible. You are not like everyone else. I told you this in the past. Please stop thinking that you are and that you cannot do this. You can. I have seen your success. All it takes is a little effort on your behalf. Please try. We are here to support you, and we love you. Anybody have any questions or comments? Okay. Trisus has been sick all week, so I told him we'll give him a break. And we will do religions next month because we have a lot to go over today. I did want to share a few things and ask this question. Have you ever started your day by asking Father, how can I help you today? Stop and think about that. If we stop our life before we even leave work or even start to do things, and we ask Father, what do you need from us? He will answer us, and he will give us an idea of what we need to do to help, whether it is just something you need to do when you're out and about, or maybe he needs you to go into eternity, or anything. But if you and I put him first, that is also being active. I just wanted to throw that out there. I had an experience a week ago, and it kind of blew my mind, so I wanted to share this with everybody. I decided to go into eternity with Jesus, and he said he was going to take me to all the realms that I've been in before. And I kind of looked at him with the look of, one of us is bound by time, and I don't know how we're going to do that, but that's an insane idea. And he looked at me and he goes, you're thinking like a human. Stop thinking like a human. Close your eyes. I said, okay. So I closed my eyes. He goes, think about the realms that you've served. So I did. And I started naming them off in my head. He said, now open your eyes. And I saw myself at the same time in every realm. He said, you are not bound by flesh. You are spirit. You are a soul. You are a guardian. All the guardians can do this. He said, sometimes you think too one-dimensional. And you think, I only have time to go into one realm. And now you have to understand that as we, Father and I, we can be in multiple places at multiple times because we are not bound by time. Eternity is not bound by those laws. So he said, now open your mouth and say something. So I did. And every single realm that I was standing in, that came out of my mouth. And I was able to spend time with every single soul that I spent time with in their realm over all the years. And it was very emotional for me to think that I could do something like that. I charge all of you, give it a whirl. It's mind-blowing. Even though we're not really using our mind, but we are using our consciousness. Our soul is the thing that we project and move around in. Our consciousness is what keeps us focused, right? So do not limit yourself and think, again, I'm human. I'm only human. Father keeps reminding us that we're all more than that. Don't cut him short. Anybody have any question?
I've had a similar thought with going into the countries. If we just look at the list and see, okay, A, B, and C countries haven't been serviced yet, why not just do them all at once?
Excellent. Yeah. That's awesome. Anybody else? Okay.
I couldn't unmute fast enough. I'm sorry. Trying to reach my... So how do we get out of the way then? I'll take some hints. Because I always seem to think about the stuff and plan it, you know, while I'm doing it. How do you get past that?
For me, I just let Jesus take me there. And then I closed my eyes. And then I allowed him to help me get me where I needed to be.
Okay.
I honestly didn't think about anything. I cleared my whole mind and just listened to his voice. And then when he said, open your eyes, there I was. And I stood there for a brief moment because it was a little unnerving to feel and see myself in multiple places at one time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Stop thinking human.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your cue.
Yeah.
Knock it off.
Yes, sir.
All right. So it's been very slow at the company I work at. So I've had a lot of free time. So Father and I have spent a lot of time over the last 2 weeks. And I was talking with him over the years. And I said, it would really be nice if you were to give us some information about revelations, because if you're not smoking a doobie, it doesn't make a lot of sense half the time because it's all metaphoric. And so he said, yes, we can do that. So I pulled Bible texts and put together this presentation per se. Fred will put up texts for you when the time is right. And then there they are. Now you stole my entire screen there, Fred. Hold on a second. Okay. So we're going to read out of Revelations 5, which I don't believe I gave Fred this text. So please ignore what's on your screen currently. It says, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all of heaven. Then he came and took the scrolls out of my right hand of him who sat on the throne. We did not expound on that, but we did expound on the seven seals. So we're going to look at it first at Revelations 2:6-2. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. I spent time sourcing, Googling different things on the internet about this entire topic. And the funny thing is there were so many opinions. So I picked three sources and I took little excerpts of them. And I would like to just read them to you. One of the sources said, "The first seal reveals the white horse ridden by one holding a bow and given a crown." Scholars disagree on the identity of the rider. All do agree, however, that a white horse is not ridden into battle. The rider becomes a clear target for the enemy. With Jesus as the rider of the white horse, victory is sure, and he would not fear any enemy. Instead, the enemy would fear Jesus. The rider wields a bow. Many believe the bow represents the gospel, straight, sharp, true, with a long reach, and directed by God. Jesus, as the rider, is given a crown representing his authority, sovereignty, and power. Everyone who accepts the gospel calls him King and Lord. The revelation of the first seal represents Jesus as a conqueror, bent on continuing to conquer. He conquered sin through his death and resurrection. Through sanctification, he continues to defeat the enemy. That was one person's opinion. Here is a second opinion. In the first seal, we see Christ with a wreath of a conqueror. He rides the white horse, white being the emblem of victory and also of purity. The prophetic picture shows the apostolic church led on by its divine captain to victory over a pagan world, its doctrines pure, and its victorious leader, Christ himself. As the apostle Paul exclaimed when he saw the pure gospel transforming men in Romans 1:16, Fred, you can flip that slide if you have it. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, and for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. But after the apostles died, a change came. Faith grew cold, and the predicted days of falling away came." We're going to read now 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Got that slide, Fred? Beauty. "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." This is actually Jesus that he's speaking of. That's the second source. Here's the third source. And then Father's going to put in what he knows to be true. This is the third source. The first seal introduces the Antichrist. From the biblical description, we gather several details. He rides a white horse, which speaks of peace at the beginning of the tribulation. The Antichrist will come under the pretense of bringing peace to the world. He is given a crown, which initiates that the Antichrist will exercise great authority. he holds a bow, which shows his true intentions, and he advances as a conqueror bent on conquest. So I looked at Father and I went, okay, so what is it? Here's what Father said. Before we talk about these seals and the trumpets, it is important to first understand that the order in which John saw these do not take place in a chronological order. Heaven is not bound by time. The seals are opened when I determine that the time is right. Now, the first seal has been opened. The moment Jesus died on the cross, the Antichrist was active. Please remember, the Antichrist is not a person. It is a position that is passed down through time until time ends. The first two items that Tryland brought to your attention are incorrect. This has nothing to do with Jesus. It is the Antichrist unleashed upon mankind. Tryland will go over with you what the Antichrist is in another series. So this is all I will share with you on the subject until Tryland is ready to present the Antichrist series to you. And then I would like to have an open discussion about this. Anybody? Don't all jump in at once. I know it's a lot of information. What blew me away is all these years, I always thought that the seals were opened in chronological order, right? That's not the case. And as we go through these seals, you're going to understand why that is. Anybody have any comment?
So if you could just, everything that you just said, can you like summarize that down to, this is what it is?
Okay. Basically, this first seal opens, and this is where the Antichrist is now unleashed on mankind. And the Antichrist comes in the pretense of, I am a good guy. I bring you peace. I'm the one who can lead you into victory. I'm the one who's going to get you into the kingdom. All you have to do is follow me and do what I say. But what happens is the Antichrist's job is, as his name says, to work against Christianity. So I've often said, whoever is the biggest being that's going against Christians, that is the Antichrist. And that's why I said at one point, Osama bin Laden was the Antichrist in his time, this time. Now he's been killed, so now there's another one that's stepping up to work against Christianity in some way to destroy it. And his little minions are all those people that create the bombs, that kill people, that think they're going to have 72 virgins or whatever it is when they pass. He is a liar. Some think he's the son of Satan. Well, son can't birth children, but what he can do is create evil. And Father actually expounds on that when we get into another seal. But basically, this guy's job is to lead mankind astray under the guise that he's a good person or he's a good leader. And eventually, he's the one that leads to the whole, you got to have a mark in your hand for the 666 thing to get currency and all that garbage. That's the guy down the road that we're going to come across. Father just wanted to make sure that everybody understands that the Antichrist is real. He started his activity the minute Jesus died, and that kind of blew my mind. I thought the Antichrist kind of came down later in time, but it's not. He's been active since the day Jesus was crucified. Does that make sense?
Could you give me an example besides the modern times for Osama bin Laden, like who might have been in that position at one point? I don't know, like within the last like 100 years besides that?
Hitler. He was persecuting the Jews, trying to wipe them out. Whoever actively, I would say, works against mankind at some point and is just pure evil. It's kind of hard to believe that a human being can be that. But if you put into the play that the Antichrist, who's literally born out of Satan's cold, dead heart, I want to say, if you look through time of whoever is being wicked and evil. So even in this time, some people could say that the Russian guy, Vladimir, whatever, Putin, he could be the Antichrist because he's going after an entire nation and trying to wipe them out. They are, and I know, Christians that are there. I'm not the one who's going to finger point who the current Antichrist is, because honestly, I don't know. And this is going to be sounding really stupid. I don't care, because we're going to do our job and we're not going to get involved with what he says and does. But anybody who stands up and says, follow me, and I'm the guy, and everything's great and good, and then he's going about doing things that go against everything that's human, it's not right. And your heart can tell you that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if, well, I'll share with you something. I talked with Bishop Tesmer recently, and he's retired now, and he shared something. He's spiritual, and it's really nice. He stated that we're in the Bible where it says that that the souls will knock, or those will knock, and Jesus will open the door, and basically he'll say, I know you not, you workers of iniquity. And they'll say, yeah, but I proclaimed in your name, and I healed in your name, and all of these things. And he said that, what does iniquity mean? And a lot of people think, well, it means sin. And he said, but what it means is opinions. And so these who say they're doing the Lord's work, it's out of their opinion. And it could be that to a degree. And then he said that recently the Bible has been changed, so it doesn't say iniquity anymore. Our newer Bible says lawlessness. And he said that what is the true law? The truth. Truth is the law. And so everything that isn't the complete truth, but it's my opinion or someone else's opinion or anybody's opinion, everybody has their own opinion. And then when you look at what it's like today, and I've said this before and I'm going to stick by it. I'm apolitical, because if I have an opinion and offend someone else because of something worldly, that's just not worth it.
Right.
But we live in that time.
Makes sense. Thank you.
I can offer up a historical reference on the Antichrist. If you remember the movie The 300, that was just a graphical representation of what was happening with the king of Persia. If you look at history, the Persian Empire expanded and was not friendly to Christians at all. It was huge. If you go look back Aerostar into the history books, just pull up Google and that time period. Of course, the movie was about the 300 Greek soldiers and all that. The movie was way overboard, but I had to look up because it made no sense to me. But that at that time, he was considered the Antichrist because he was working against so much of that part of the Middle East. And even now, if you make reference to the Iranians as Persians, you kind of get a funny look, like they don't want to be referred to them as Persian. Although some of them are proud of that, but I won't bring in politics now, but that, look up that reference and you'll see at that time they were afraid he was going to take over the world at that point. So.
Okay.
Thank you. Excellent. Thank you for participating, folks. Any other questions?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So you had mentioned Hitler being the Antichrist. So I have heard that people have seen Hitler in eternity and that he has found his way. So is that possible?
Sure is, because anything can be forgiven. I asked Father, I said, so is this a spirit? Or is it a demon? What is it? And he said, it's a demon. So this demon takes over somebody and just works them. and they start getting all these stupid ideas and they start going for it. But for Hitler, he actually, before he could find Father's Grace, had to go seek the forgiveness for all those who he harmed before Father was going to let him receive grace. And he did. Took him a long time, but they don't have time there, you know. But yes, you're correct in hearing that he's okay, which just completely blows everybody's minds, right? Because they all think he's in hell for what he did. But Jesus's sacrifice on the cross, he died for the sins of everybody, not just one or two specific sins. Good question.
A couple things came to mind here. Well, first, Lauren brought up the fact that, you know, the Antichrist could be someone posing as a Christian who's intent on misleading.
Correct.
Also, am I correct in assuming that we're not able to completely destroy the Antichrist?
Correct.
Similar to the spirits.
Correct. They serve a purpose.
I'll tell you something.
Nice job, Lauren.
Oops, sorry. I'll tell you something interesting about, it was a service for the departed, and we were in a different congregation. It was called Newmarket. And there was a priest that was serving, and he hadn't been in Newmarket for a very long time. And we knew this priest quite well. And he related to us an experience. I think he had that experience. He had a dream. I guess it would have been a vision, but, you know, he's not allowed to say that from behind the altar. But he actually saw Hitler coming to one of the congregations, and he had a whole, he was knocking on the door. Sorry, Tom's telling me. And he had a whole stream of people that he had persecuted. Oh, just a minute.
Brother.
Yes.
He was at this service.
Yes.
He's always at the door.
Oh, okay. Right. So Rexdale was our district congregation. And there was a particular brother that was always at the door in this congregation. And that was, and Hitler knocked on the door, and this particular brother opened the door for him. And Hitler was there, but with all the people that, oh, just a minute. Yes. Okay. And then he brought up.
And then he said, can I bring my friends along?
Oh, yeah. So he knocked on the door and he said, may I come in? And this brother said, yes. And Hitler said, may I bring my friends too? And that's when they all came in.
Wow.
He said they were, and the ones that came in were dressed in black and white stripes, like prisoners.
Sure.
Yeah.
Nice. Anybody else? Okay. We're going to talk about the second seal. Fred, if you can put up Revelation 6:4. You got it, beauty. This is the red horse, and which symbolizes war. Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. Here's what one source said. This parallels Christ's explanation of Matthew 24:6-7. Do you want to put that one up, Fred? And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. The red horse represents the judgment of war. The rider removes peace from the world. With peace removed, men proceed to do all the damage and wage war against each other. Thus is the nature of man. Of the past 3,400 years of humans, they have been entirely at peace for only 268 years, or just 8% of the recorded history. The rider of the fiery red horse holds a sword, but does not have to kill. Men will kill one another. Here's what Father said. This seal was opened when Cain killed Abel. That demon was unleashed and has wreaked havoc on earth. Truly, man has done more killing than even Satan could imagine. This seal, although it is viewed singularly as a detriment, it is also a blessing to mankind. When souls find themselves in peril, they ask me for my help. And when they enter into eternity, their work of salvation can take a new course, which will bring comfort, love, and salvation. One second. I share this with you because you must and need to have a deeper understanding. Most of mankind only sees the surface of situations and gravitates towards the negative. You are defenders of truth and light. I am arming you for the future with more knowledge. Now is the time for me to expand on these subjects so that you may bring others into a deeper understanding. Theologians will have nothing on you. Most of the time, it is their best guess that becomes fact when it is not the truth. Do not get me wrong. They serve a purpose. And then he asked us to have an open discussion. Anybody have any comments? Questions?
Sort of to backtrack to the white horse.
Okay.
A number of years ago, I think Blazar shared a few things about Revelations. And I thought, at least I remember discussing the rider on the white horse being you. Am I remembering that right?
That is farther along in Revelations where we come out and face Satan's forces.
Okay.
That's after he's been loosed for a season and then he wreaks his havoc and then Father draws a line in the sand and says, whoever would like to follow Satan, go over there. Whoever wants to follow me, come over here. And more people follow Satan than come to Father's side. And then the final battle ensues and that's when we come out.
Gotcha. So then the rider on the red horse sounds quite a bit like Satan's mantra. Is that
it's another demon released on this world?
All right, that makes sense.
What's interesting is that Father said, and don't worry about this because it's going to happen, all the wars,
right.
I held the service this morning and something came out that I hadn't even considered or came across my heart when I was preparing, but it did in the service. The service today was about Samuel anointing King Saul to be the king. Mm-hmm. And in no time, he failed. His job was to completely annihilate the Amalekites. And he didn't. He saved the king and he didn't kill everyone and they didn't kill all their animals. And then the people kind of went through and gathered up whatever they wanted and took it back and he let them. And in the service today, it came out that This sounds horrible, that Saul would be commanded to absolutely annihilate a whole nation. And I said, at first glance, from a human perspective, that sounds terrible. But we have to realize that that was a point in time that's already passed, and those souls are in eternity. And then those kind of explanations came out. And I don't have to go into more detail, but I find it interesting that what was just said there went right along with what came out in the service. That's really nice.
Thank you for sharing. Mm-hmm. What's interesting about that entire thing you just brought up is Starlight and I were talking this morning about how things that Father does are sometimes cruel and kind of morbid and just absolutely do not make sense at different times. And she said to me, it's, she goes, I love Father and I'll always do what he says, but why would he have to sacrifice his own son to do this kind of thing? Because it seems incredibly morbid. And I said, well, back then, that was something that had to happen. We would sacrifice. I said, there was no religion until Moses came along, and then God created Judaism. And in that laws and rules, he put sacrifices, and each sacrifice signified something. And I said to her, now, if you look today in the state of natural life that we live, you can't get something for nothing. You have to give something to get something. I said, so even we incur bills and we have to pay them with something. I said, Father had to pay mankind's sins by using his only son, begotten son, to do this sacrifice. And where we don't understand why Father would do something like this, I said, his righteousness has to be met. And he's the one who set this whole thing up. And she goes, yeah, but if you think about the way Father kind of designs all of this, it almost seems like it's some cruel kind of game. And I said, you're right. It seems like, she goes, why didn't he just let us all get to the kingdom and we're all there and everything's great and hunky-dory? And I said, the problem is if he did that, we wouldn't appreciate what it is that he wants to give us. I said, and if you think about it, he already had that before he made man. He had all the angels and they were all praising him and worshiping him and serving him and doing all of that. I said, but then he made man and he threw in that whole horrible, horrible thing called free will. And here we are. I said, he wants us to love him because we want to. He wants us to sacrifice ourselves so that we can be with him. He wants us to show him that this worldly life doesn't mean as much as he does. It doesn't make sense. It's never going to really make sense until we all get to the kingdom. And then Father can say to us, you already know the answers to all this stuff. Does it make sense now? Yes. Yes, it does. Let's have a piece of pie. Any questions? I hope my wife doesn't have a stink face because I just shared all that. Oh, she's moving her eyebrows. I'm going to get it later.
Hey, we need her to have those views. Because
exactly.
Because people are going to have those views, and an answer needs to be given. And another way to think about it is that, you know, it doesn't really matter how long mankind will live. Okay. It's never going to compare to eternity because they don't equate. So however long it takes for mankind to be alive before the 1,000 years of peace and all of that stuff, it really doesn't matter. But the interesting thing is that what we read in the Bible today from Samuel happened for us so that we could understand and see better. Mm-hmm. And if we don't understand Father better through our experiences and the things that we go through, then we wouldn't really appreciate him. And right. He wants us, he already appreciates us. It'd be really nice if we appreciate him when we live with him. And I could right now, since I'm talking, I want to share an experience that I had, which was amazing. Just before I went up to open the service, I was talking to Father and I was just saying, help me to know, you know, help me to be a good husband, a good father, a good grandfather, a good employer, son, all this, and help me to see things and get focused so that I do things the way you want me to. And my phone hears music and shows me what's playing. And because I was feeling like I'm failing, I got to do better at things. And the song that played was "It's Okay, You're Okay." Right as I got done praying, it showed up on my phone. And I thought, I don't hear any music. How can that be? It's him. Anyway, thanks for letting me share that.
Thank you. He's always there to confirm for us what we are supposed to do and give us the assurances that we're on the right track. Mm-hmm. And as long as you and I don't overthink things, it makes his life so much easier. He just said, did you hear what came out of your own mouth, boy? Yes. Yes, I did. Thank you. Any other questions on this one, the second seal? I actually thought we were going to get through all of them, but we're not, and that's okay. There's plenty of information here. I don't want to rush through this. All right, let's move on to the third seal. We're going to look at Revelation 6, 5 through 6, Fred. I chose the NIV version because I'll explain in a second. When the Lamb opened the third seal, and this is the black horse, and this has a representation of famine. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come. I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among four living creatures say, 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wage, and 6 pounds of barley for a day's wage, and do not damage the oil and the wine. I chose the NIV because we can understand what 2 pounds is. I didn't want to get into the whole denarius and all that stuff. But basically, we're looking at kind of the time we're living in right now, if you think about it a little bit. But I don't want to take away Father's thunder, so hold on a second. So I sourced this, and one of the sources said this. John then witnessed the judgment from the third seal. The rider sits atop a black horse that represents famine. In the rider's hands are scales that signify that man will eat their bread by measure. Gone are the days of plenty. This judgment will be most harsh upon the poor. For those who can, the cost of a small amount of bread will be exorbitant. When people turn from the spiritual food from God, the judgment is deprivation of physical food. Father said this, perhaps you think that I opened this seal this year with the way the economy is going. This seal was opened back in Joseph's time when they had 7 years of famine. But I prepared them for this, and I will prepare my children too. This seal has had its effect on the world time and again. When a soul finds that something has been taken away from them and is not so easily obtained, they become more faithful. Their prayer is much more sweeter to me. They open their heart and plead with me, and it is the Father's good will to give from his heart. Salvation is a horrible way to die. Or starvation, sorry. Starvation is a horrible way to die. But I will tell you that dying in one's sins is greater and even more painful. Teach others, my children. The bread of life is eternally lasting. Now, the phrase, and do not damage the oil and the wine. Oil was used for anointing and wine for purifying and cleansing. So those of you who drink wine are purified or pickled. Father laughed. In other words, do not be careless with the oil and the wine and use it up for frivolous things. Your conversations can anoint a soul with peace and love. Your words can purify or can be purifying to a soul that is lost, desperate, and hurting. You will bring them from lies to truth, and then they will start to seek me. There are some of these are some of the gifts I have laid into all of you. All of my children can serve in this way. Open discussion. Anyone? Bueller?
If I could just make a comment concerning what you said with Starlight saying it's terrible, all this stuff. Truly, it is. But that's an explanation of the why. Because when we need, we reach out to Father.
Right.
And I see it all. I mean, around when I see people who lose their jobs and then they need, they wake up spiritually.
The question that I had, it wasn't necessarily what he's saying, but I'm glad he can use it in the meeting. But there's there's so much more to it, but I can't articulate it. So, but just, it's fine. Like it's a very simplified thing of what I was actually trying to say earlier,
it's just, you know, bits and pieces, but you know, if you would just say, and not, you didn't say this, but if everybody had to die a terrible death, because that's just the way it is, and God wipes out this, and that's a terrible thing. But if we look at the big picture, they're not dead.
Right.
In eternity. So that's just,
it's very complex. Kind of it's very, the whole thing is very complex. You know, like
there's a lot more. I kind of gave the sweet and condensed version.
Yeah.
There was a lot more.
And I wasn't alluding to this covers everything.
No, I know that. And I know that eventually it'll come up. I wasn't thinking, my brain was like way further out there of like, this is just kind of, you know, it's kind of a strange thing, like thinking of religion in and of itself and Father and who he is and like the layers of everything of it. Like there's this guy, God, Father, he just decided one day I'm going to create the world and then I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And like all of these different facets of things. But then it's not just the world part of it. Then it goes into the eternity part of it. And then people have to do things in order to get to be with him. But you know, and it's just people's mentality and thinking of things. Like I said, there's just, it's so much. And like, I have conversations with Father about it because I'm just trying to, like, I'm digging deeper within myself, just analyzing. And that's my brain is being like the analytical person,
cool.
Just like digging deeper into things where it's hard to get an answer for, I guess, or just trying to understand things for myself. Because people use religion as a game or to manipulate people. Absolutely. And things. And that's where I was like, man, that's just kind of twisted that, you know, it's because he had something and created something that was so pure. And then people take it and manipulate it into whatever they want to do with it. That's kind of where where Tryland and I were talking a little bit, but it was hard to, you know, articulate that. So that's it.
Thank you. Anybody else? We have 4 minutes left. I'm not going to go into the next seal because we just don't have enough time. We'll save it for next month. I would encourage everybody to keep going into the different countries and cleaning them out. The latest one was the one I just sent, I think a week ago or two. Please look at it, find a country that needs help and help them out. And does anybody have anything else they'd like to share? Okay. For the birthdays in May, Aria had a birthday on the 8th, and I don't think anyone else had one. Unless I missed something, please let me know. Our next team meeting will be Sunday, June 12th, and it's always at 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And I asked Aquos if he would be willing to pray and close. So, Aquos, please.
Can you hear okay?
Sure can.
Okay. Loving Father, we come before you and we say thank you for everything. We're grateful that we're your children. We're grateful that we've been given this gift and we pray that we may never take it for granted. And we've learned so much was spoken of. And it may, to some, one or the other, seem overwhelming, but we know that if we take the time, that it'll penetrate into our heart, penetrate into our soul in the right time with your help. And we say thank you in advance for that. We pray, too, that we may, with this knowledge that we have, and even in our own circle of faith in our church and our congregations, we may hear something different and may even be from our leaders. We pray that we may never judge, because let us always remember that if we weren't given this opportunity, we'd probably think the same thing. Rather, let us have compassion, let us have love, patience, just as Jesus did, and let us, as you asked us to be, just be active, be kind, be loving, and share what you want us to share. Be who you want us to be. We're guardians, but we've been told and to have faith and to have peace and to not worry. But we're also humans, and we have our moments where we worry, where we care, where we're concerned, where we wonder what tomorrow will bring, where we wonder why certain things may have to transpire. Each one of your guardians have their own trial, their own tribulation that you have allowed. And help that each and every one of us may have the strength to get through it, and that we may learn what we have to from it. And as a result from our trial and tribulation, let us be able to glorify and praise you even more, because we know that is the ultimate reason. It's just to bring us closer to you, to bring us, make us wiser, make us stronger, and then also help others. Help us with this. Where we stumble, let us be able to see that you're picking us up, as Q had his experience and example too. May each and every one have their example when they need it, and may they be looking, most importantly, when they ask for it and when they need it. We pray for those who have their wishes, their desires, their dreams, and we pray that they, if it's in your will, that it may be granted unto them, and that they may have the endurance to carry on until it's the right time for them to have it. And if it is not in your will for them to have it, then let each and every one have the faith, the perseverance, and acceptance to carry on and to go with what you have given. Let us all have a great rest of the week. We pray for each and every one, that they may also be protected. It is a very interesting world that we live in these days, and we ask that we may never be sucked into the world, but we may stay above that, so that we can look and see where we can help, but not be drawn into that negativity, as we heard. There is many other things that could be said, and we know that you'll cover whatever we may have forgotten, but we say thank you for everything. Know that we love you, know that we appreciate you, and we pray all these things, if it's in your will, in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Have a great week. Love you guys.
Love you all. Take care.
Love you all.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, guys.
Good night.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye.